Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
We are indeed thankful for your presence this morning. We have such a fine number present. We're glad to have you. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our welcome guest. We hope that you'll be with us at every opportunity that you can. You'll notice on our little chart over here that we have exceeded our goal for today for our Bible study. We had a goal of 375 and we reached 385. And I hope that Grady and W.L. didn't take me serious Wednesday night and open the doors downstairs and run some four-legged ones through and count them. I don't think he did, surely. We have just sung this song, Who Will Follow Jesus? Who Will Make Reply? It's a beautiful song, lovely song. And I think it carries a great deal of soul-searchingness, if we can use that expression. It has a question about it. A soul-searching question. Who will follow Jesus? Men have always followed someone or something. Men have followed great men as far as influence is concerned, and not necessarily great men because of what they are. Men have followed such men as Napoleon, Alexander, Hitler. Men have followed great ideas and thoughts and philosophies, principles. It's very important who and what we follow. That's why I asked Brother Sid to sing this song today, Who Will Follow Jesus? You know, we can be led by the blind and both fall in the ditch. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. That's true, Matthew 15, verse 14. Sometimes we can be misled into following that which is not correct, following someone who is not proper to follow and ought not to demand our fellowship. It is doubly important in the spiritual realm that we follow the right person and the right thing. We may follow Satan, a sure route to failure, or we may follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who provides the path to victory. In this lesson today, we want to notice, or we want to talk about, following Jesus. Let me suggest to you, first of all, today, why we ought to follow Jesus. Suffice it to say that when we talk about following Jesus, we're talking about literally becoming like Him. The most frequently used word to follow, or follower, or followed, can also be translated imitate. And we find in the Gospels and in the epistles that the word is sometimes translated that. In fact, the American Standard Version translates it most frequently, imitate. Jesus says to us, follow me. Why? First of all, let me suggest to you that we ought to follow Jesus because of who He is. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. He's called the Son of Man at times, but He's called also the Son of God. He owns up to being the Son of God. When put on trial by the Sanhedrin and the high priest is questioning Jesus, he said, tell us plainly, Jesus, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. It's that simple. As you read through the Gospel of John, you'll notice several I ams. And the idea is centered around the idea that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the bread of life. He is the I am, in fact. He was before Abraham was, which indicated His deity. And the Bible begins, or the Gospel of John begins, with the idea of the pre-existent nature of Christ, of Jesus, as deity, as being on equality with God. But not only is Jesus the Son of God, Jesus is the only Savior that men have. There is no other name given among men wherein a man might be saved, Acts 4, verse 12. In the Gospels, we find that the Bible, the angels came and in talking to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds, they all proclaimed that Jesus was the Savior of His people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall be the Savior of His people. In Titus 2 and verse 13, the emphasis is placed on the fact that Jesus Christ will come who is our Savior. There is no other Savior. Men may look, men may think they have found salvation in some other source, in some other man, in some other philosophy, in some other thought, but they will not find salvation in any other save Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, Paul would say, and I am the chief of those. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. But not only is Jesus the Son of God and Jesus the only Savior, but Jesus is also given all authority. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke out of heaven, and the men who were there heard, Peter, James, and John, heard that voice. And He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." No longer is Moses to be heard, no longer is Elijah to be followed, but now the rule of faith and practice, the revelation of God's will to men in this time, is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28, verse 18. But not only is He the Son of God, and not only is He the Savior, the only one, and not only is He given all authority, but Jesus also loves us. It may be one thing to say that Jesus is God's Son and Jesus is the Savior and Jesus is the idea of authority or having authority and has all authority. But coupled with the idea that Jesus loves us, it ought to stimulate us to want us to follow Him because He would not lead us where we ought not to go. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "This Jesus who loveth us and loosed us from our sins and made us to be a kingdom priest." Jesus loves us. He says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And you are My friends if you keep My commandments." Verse 14. It's very clear then that we ought to follow Jesus because of who He is. Now secondly, we ought to follow Jesus because of what He's done and can do. The idea is, and taught in the Scripture, that Jesus died for us. As we've already indicated in John 15, 13. He died for us, willing, left in equality with God, taking Him on in the form of a servant, came, died upon a cruel cross of Calvary that we might live through Him. Through His death and His atoning blood, we might have the forgiveness of sins. He saves us now and provides salvation as our destiny, as our destination. Heaven itself is provided through Jesus Christ. Not only does He provide heaven sometime in the future, but also He provides the abundant life now. "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." John chapter 10 and verse 10. So He provides peace of mind, the peace that passes understanding, as Paul would say. And He provides happiness and freedom from anxiety. Jesus also gives help and comfort and whatever we need in time of need. So we ought to follow Jesus for what He's done and what He can do and what He does. But not only so, but we ought to follow Jesus because He asks us to follow Him. Since He's the Son of God, and since He's the Christ, and since He's the only Savior, and since He loves us, and since He cares for us, and since He provided salvation for us, and since He provides our necessities and cares for us now, and provides us an abundant life and the hope of heaven, then since He asks us to follow Him, we ought to be willing to do so. The passage that I asked Brother Neil to read, and you're hearing, Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24, he says, "If any man would come after Me, let him take up his cross daily and follow Me." There are many passages that Jesus calls upon His disciples to follow Me. Follow Me. Lay down your nets and follow Me. Put your taxes aside and follow Me, He would say to Levi and to Peter, James, and John. And those men who were called upon or were called by Him to follow Him. He calls all men to follow Him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, John says that not only must a person be willing to follow Him, but he demonstrates by his willingness to follow Him that he knows God. He begins in verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked." Follow Jesus. As Peter would say, we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. He has traveled the road before. And he says, "Follow Me down the road." This little poem I found the other day, and I thought it was very appropriate. It's called "In His Steps." "The road is too rough, dear Lord," I cried. "There are stones that hurt me so." And he said, "Dear child, I understand. I walked it long ago. But there is a cool green path," I said. "Let me walk there for a time." "No, child," he gently answered me. "The green road does not climb. But I wish there were friends with me who would make my way their own." "And yes," he said, "Gethsemane was hard to bear alone." And so I climbed the stony path, content at last to know that there my master, that where my master had not gone, I would not have to go. And strangely then I found new friends, and the burden grew less sore. As I remembered long ago, he went that way before. Yes, Jesus has been down the path, and he says, follow me. I've led the way. We ought to follow Jesus because of who he is, of what he's done, and because he asks us to follow him. But you know, the Bible teaches that we are to follow others. You know, we sometimes fail to remember that people, other people who are Christians, are to be followed as they follow Christ. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, be ye imitators of me. And here's that word. In the King James, it's translated, be ye followers of me. But Paul, should we follow you because of who you are or what you've done? No. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Every one of us should be able to say, be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ. To the extent that you see Christ in me, as Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, to that extent you emulate my life. Don't emulate what I do not portray as Christ living in me, but rather as I imitate Christ, as I follow Christ, you follow me. And that's what Paul is saying here. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 beginning, he says, brethren, be ye imitators together of me. That's the word follow. Be ye followers together of me. And mark them that so walk even as we have also, as ye have also us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He said basically, you be imitators of us as we set the example for you and as we follow Christ. Don't follow those who serve themselves, who serve their own belly. He goes on to say, for their end is perdition, whose God is the belly, whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. We're to follow Christ, and we're to follow others as they follow Christ. In Acts 20, verse 35, he said to the Ephesian elders, I have left you an example that in all things you might be generous and you might be willing to follow that example in serving the Lord, as the Lord himself left an example of service. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul would say, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, he continues this idea of following him when he says, and be imitators of us and of the Lord. We are to imitate those who follow Jesus. We're to follow their example. We're to follow in their footsteps as they follow Christ. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, the writer says, considering the issue of their life, imitate their faith. Look around you and find the strongest. Look around you and find the faithful ones. Look around you and find those who are, that you can see Christ in their life, and then emulate their faith. Follow their faith. You know, it's so much easier to see an example, isn't it? To see Christ living in someone than it is to think about in a way that is not as clear out here in a spiritual way. We think about, you know, it's hard for me to see Jesus as a person. I can read about him. I can study about him. I can try to put him in that setting. I can try to see him physically, you know, in my own mind. But it's all a mental process. It's a spiritual process. But when I can see Christ living in others, when I can see their faith there, when I can see it exemplified before me, then I can follow that easier. And that's what Paul is saying here. You emulate me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. Can others follow you? We're to be examples to others. There is a great power in example. We are examples to others. We do influence other people. People are watching you. Paul admonishes Timothy that he's to be an example in word and manner of life, in deed, and so forth. Every person exemplifies something to some people, to someone else. Friends, family, and so forth. You're preaching by your life. There isn't a word that a preacher can say, no matter how lovely or true. Nor is there a prayer that his eager lips pray that can preach such a sermon as you. You vowed to serve Christ, and men know that you did. And they're watching the things that you do. There isn't one action of yours that is hid. Men are watching and studying you. You say, well, you're no preacher. Yes, but you preach a wonderful sermon each day. The acts of your life are the things that you say. So, Christian, remember, you bear His dear name. Your life for others to view. You're a living example. Men praise you or blame and measure all Christians by you. One wrote not too long ago that a business leader said, an institution may spread itself over the entire world and may employ 100,000 people, but the average person will form his judgment of that business through its contact or his contact with one individual. We may spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to create the correct image in the community. We may have maybe use radio and television and the printed page and newspaper, whatever we might be able to use to influence the community for good and for the cause of Christ. But the church will be judged by individuals that you know, not by the publicity, and not by the image portrayed in the paper or the television or the radio, but it will be judged by you, the individual. How serious, then, is our responsibility to be examples to others? How serious it is for us as parents, and maybe grandparents, as the case may be, to be careful about the example that we leave with our children, with our grandchildren. How influential that example is. I don't know how I can say it any clearer than to say that it is the most important thing that you can do to help train your child. Because as the old adage has been around for a long time, what you do pounds so loudly in my ears that I cannot hear what you say. Make sure that your life, before your grandchildren, before your children, is what it ought to be, because they will follow you. They follow your example. You influence them. 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that went away in the parable Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. On the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock, safe into the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep do we earnestly long and earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger if they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs do follow the sheep always, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it isn't long till the lambs are wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead, for the sake of the lambs today, if the sheep are lost, what an awful cost some lambs will have to pay. How serious it is that we set the proper example and influence as parents and grandparents to children. I read a little story the other day about a little girl that was in the hospital. Very serious condition because she had drank some gasoline. In trying to discover why in the world the little girl would drink some gasoline, they discovered that she had watched her daddy siphon gasoline from the car into a gasoline tank for the lawnmower. And she thought he was drinking it. And so she did. How powerful is the influence of parents over their children? Daddies, little boys are going to follow you. Mothers, little girls are going to follow you. They're going to follow your example. They're going to be what you are. I'm just a little boy, said the little boy. Some things I don't understand. My daddy is the smartest and strongest person in the world. He understands. And I'll ask him, and I want to be just like him when I grow up. Daddy, I have a question. Why did you spank me when I smoked one of your cigarettes? Please, Daddy, tell me why. I don't understand, because I want to be like you in every way. Daddy, why did Mama wash my mouth out with soap? She said it was bad to say God and hell when I got mad. Please tell me why it is bad to say these words. I heard you say them, and I want to talk like you. Please, Daddy, tell me why. Daddy, Timmy won't play with me anymore. His mother says I tell naughty stories. Why did she say that? I heard you tell the story to Mr. Jenkins. I don't understand. When will I be big enough to tell stories like you? Please, Daddy, tell me why. Daddy, I don't want to go to Bible study this morning. I'm a big boy now. Mother says that I must go even if you don't. I don't understand. I want to grow up and be just like you. How old do I have to be to stay home from Bible study? Please, Daddy, tell me why. Parents are going to influence their children. The children are going to follow the example they see. We can cause others to stumble by our lives. There was a man in London who was walking along the darkened street at night. He was blind. He had a cane in one hand and a lantern in the other. As he felt his way along the street and pecked along to find the edge of the curb, a woman came to him and said, "Sir, you cannot see. Why do you carry a lantern?" And he said, "I do not carry it for myself to see, but that others might not stumble over me." We need to be careful that we portray the kind of image that we influence in the proper way those around about us, that we do not cause others to stumble and be less than they ought to be by our own improper example. We can bring people closer to the Lord or further away from the Lord by our lives. On one occasion at a gospel meeting, a great preacher closed a sermon. And one of the responses to that sermon was an influential woman in the town. She was a rich lady. She came forward and she asked the preacher if she might say something. He thought, well, I guess it'd be all right if, you know, what depends. And she said, "I just want to tell you why I came." She said, "I'm not here because of what the preacher said. I'm not here because of the sermon that he preached. I'm not here because I've heard other gospel sermons. I'm here because of one little woman who sits in this assembly." This woman is a simple washwoman whose hands are hardened and rough by the use of the washing of floors and soap and water over the years. This woman has worked for me for many, many years. And I must admit to you that over the years I have, on occasion, derided her faith and made fun of her devotion to the church and to the Lord. But when I lost my little one, she was the one on whom I had to lean. She was the one who pointed me to a hope in heaven. She's the one who pointed to the place where my child will be and where I need to be also. It's her life that preached the sermon that converted me, not the sermon you preach tonight. Now, true it is. Your life is a sermon. Don't follow me. I'm lost too. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was coming to church on a Sunday night, and right down here by this stoplight, and there was a car that I was following. And on the back of that car, there was that bumper sticker, "Don't follow me. I'm lost too." And it just kind of slapped me in the face. I look for things that have a spiritual application. And I thought to myself at the time, what a spiritual application that has. Don't follow me. I'm lost too. I dare say that not too many people would stand up in a spiritual way and say in our presence, "I'm lost." It takes a big man or a big woman to say that. To say, "I'm lost and I need to be saved." Not too many people are willing to do that. There are not too many of us who perhaps might be, even though we might be in that condition, are willing to admit it. But I thought as I saw that the reason that many of us are not involved in activities which are spiritual in their nature is because we're saying to the world, "Don't follow me, because I'm not even sure I'm saved." Or, "Don't follow me. I'm lost too. I don't know where I'm going. how I'm going to get there, or with whom I'm traveling. My friends, people are following you. And to ask people, don't do as I do, do as I say, won't work. Never has. Don't follow me. Where would following you lead? Now, when I say things like this, brother, I want you to know that I'm not talking about all 100% of us. I know that some of us are not going to leave these places, but I'm afraid that some may. If I were to follow you, where would it lead? If others follow you, where does it lead? To some, if we followed some, it would lead to drinking alcohol or to taking drugs or smoking pot or something of the kind. To some, to follow them, it would lead them to a disco or some dance hall or a smoke-filled bar room. Would following you lead there? To follow some would result in fornication in some motel someplace, or the back room of the back seat of some car, or adultery. To some, if you follow them, you'd follow them to a movie that would exalt fornication and adultery, which is designed and created to create lust in the hearts and minds of others. To follow some, you might lead to the pornographic magazine rack or book rack, and then in the privacy of your home, snuggle up and think lustful thoughts as you read pornographic material. To follow some would lead to the arms of someone who would break the marriage vows that you vowed before God, to the arms of someone with whom adultery or fornication would be committed and God's law violated. To follow some would lead to the use of improper language. To follow some would lead to the death of someone's reputation by gossip. To follow some would lead to shady business deals or to stealing, to thievery. To follow some would lead to the abuse of family. To follow some would lead down the broad way that leads to the gate of destruction. But would following you lead in a positive way to good things? I hope and pray that most of us could say it would. Would following you lead to love for and obedience to the Son of God and our Father in heaven? In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's a simple test. It's a simple test. If you love the Lord, you do what He asks you to do. You follow Him. Would following you lead to obedience to the gospel, or would it lead to rebellion and rejection of the gospel? Would following you lead to a life of faithful, dedicated Christian living? Would following you lead to walking in the light? Would following you lead to the cross of sacrifice and suffering? Would following you lead to service in a humble way as Jesus served? Would following you lead to worship and Bible study? Would following you lead to private study of God's Word? Would following you lead to the lost who need the gospel? Following Jesus does. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost," Luke 19 and 10. Would following you lead to the brother or sister who needed encouragement or restoration? Would following you help the church in its work? Would you be involved in the teaching program, or a helper, or a bus driver, or someone who helps in the worship services, or someone who performs services in other ways? Would following you lead to generous giving or covetousness? In essence, would following you lead down the straight path which leads to life and the gates of heaven? Can others see Christ living in you? Do you have the mind of Christ in you? Are you following in the footsteps of Jesus? Are you following Christ? If not, you are not a disciple of Jesus. You are not a Christian. Perhaps you need to obey the gospel today and follow Jesus in the path of obedience. Though you were a son, yet learned your obedience with the things which you suffered, and being made perfect, you became unto all those who obey Him the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. He urges upon you, if you're going to follow me, you have to submit your will to my will in obedience to the gospel. And so we urge you today, in order to follow Jesus, that you need to begin by obedience to the gospel to remove sin, to be born again and recreated in faith, through faith, into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Allow your faith to cause you to repent, and your repentance to lead you to confession of your faith, and that repentance and faith lead you to baptism, that you might receive the forgiveness of sins. And if you're here today and you've not followed Jesus as you should have followed Him, then we urge you to come back to the light. Don't stay out in darkness, separated from God. He that walks in the darkness isn't fooling himself. He's not fooling anyone. He's not fooling God. He's away from God. You need to come back to the light that you might have the cleansing blood of Christ applied to your soul.